Our reading is from the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. May the Lord bless to our hearts the reading from his precious word. Now, our Lord says, I spake this parable unto them unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We are always to pray, never to grow weary, never to lose heart and to stop praying, but to continue prayerful day by day. And to that end, to encourage our hearts, I'd like simply to go through some of the many, many promises there are in the scriptures that the Lord will hear and answer prayer. They are, to my mind, some of the broadest promises we find in the scriptures. Remarkably free, remarkably broad, remarkably without, in many instances, condition. And also, in many particular points, particular promises for particular prayers that will be answered. And to encourage us that the Lord will hear, to encourage us to pray, to not grow weary, and to encourage us to set our sights high, really, in what we pray for, and not to think anything in the will of God is beneath or is too great for us to ask. And to begin with, I'd like to turn to the Gospel of John, because we have in the last teaching of our Lord a number of promises. John chapter 14, throughout this discourse, we have the same promise repeated a number of times. Very simple promise, very plain promise, that the Lord will give whatsoever the apostles and the disciples and what we as his people will ask. Now, as you all know, this is his last teaching to the apostles before his death. He will teach them after his resurrection, but before his death. And obviously, they would take solemn note of what he was to say. And judging from their reaction after he returns to his Father, they did take solemn note. Don't turn to it, but briefly, they in Acts 1, we read of them spending the time after he ascended back to glory until Pentecost, largely in prayer. We don't read of them preaching at all, but in Acts chapter 1, these all continued, verse 14, with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. We read at the end of Luke that they did go daily to the temple, but we don't read of them teaching or preaching, but giving themselves to earnest and corporate prayer, and wonderfully answered with the giving of the Holy Spirit, obviously planned and purposed, on the day of Pentecost. And their 9 days, I may be wrong, but from the day that he ascended to Pentecost, then giving themselves to taking up the Lord's offer, as it were, of answered prayer. And likewise, the apostles in their ministry, giving themselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. And Peter, we find, before the messengers from Cornelius come to him about midday, going up onto the roof to pray. And one could go on through the epistles and otherwise to show that they were undoubtedly men of prayer. But if we could just read some of these promises in John chapters 14, 15 and 16. And the first in verse 13 and 14. But he does precede it with this promise that those who believe in him shall do greater works than he shall do. Not that we believe, we do signs as he did, as many interpret this promise, but that the Lord's people, and particularly the apostles in one sense, shall be used for the saving of souls, and in some instances more than the Lord was used to in his preaching for souls to be saved. But it then follows this promise, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. It's a wonderful, broad promise. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And one might refer it to the context of doing greater works, that we may pray that the works of God may be manifested through his people. And it is a wonderful work. If our witness is blessed to a soul being saved, in one sense a greater miracle than that of healing. But a very simple promise, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, that it is to the glory of God that we pray and he answers our prayers. Likewise, in chapter 15, very similar, that as the branches of the vine, they cannot bear fruit of themselves, but he is happy to bear fruit through them. And that the manner of that bearing fruit or is in answer to prayer. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. God is glorified in them bearing fruit, and I think it's not wrong to say in answer to prayer. We cannot bear fruit of ourselves, but we can pray that the Lord would bring forth fruit in us and by us, again in simple answer to our prayers. And we may pray very broadly for such fruit. And then in chapter 16, let me just also, it's reiterated, verse 16 of chapter 15. Ye have chosen me, but I have chosen you. Sorry, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. The same promise repeated. And then chapter 16 and verses 23 and 24. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Simply that they would not ask him, but since he would be taken from them, but they would ask the Father in his name, that their joy may be full, for their encouragement, for their assurance that the Lord is with them and hears their cries to help and to bless. And all through these promises, throughout this discourse, to encourage them when they will then be without the Saviour in his bodily form, yet they may, and in one sense they must pray, and they have wonderful warrant to pray for whatever, in one sense, they wish for, not in a carnal way, but as the Lord's servants. Nothing will be held back from them in fulfilling his work and his will. John would appear to have remembered these things because he gives very much the same promises in his epistle in 1 John chapter 3 in verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now all blessing is in one sense by the grace of God, but there is an encouragement here to walk in his ways and to, by his grace, keep his commandments and seek to please the Lord, because there is increased confidence that he will hear. In the same way as James says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And an encouragement to godliness and a discouragement to ungodliness. There are many things to discourage us from being worldly loose in one sense in the way that we live the Christian life, and many things to encourage us in the opposite, and here is one of them. And again, at the end of John's letter, chapter 5, verse 14 and to 16, well, verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. He will qualify it about praying for the brother who sins, does not sin unto death, but the essential promise is repeated there that the Lord gave to John in the upper room. But then elsewhere in the Gospels, let me just read some of the very broad promises. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And then he gives this wonderful parable, if you would call it that, but a remarkable argument. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, well, the Lord gives a remarkably broad promise, good things. In Luke, it may well be a different time when the Lord gives the same little parable, but it is recorded as he will give the Holy Spirit. Luke 11, verse 13. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, some people, I was rung up by a man a few weeks ago, trying to find out what our church was like, because a student whom he knew, I don't think a family member, nor was he their pastor, but trying to find out what we were like. And the first thing he said to me was, I see you have a gospel service from your website. Does that mean you believe in the free offer? And I said, yes, it does. But he obviously didn't. But I find it hard when the Lord gives these promises in his word. He does not limit the promise. Anybody can read. I remember reading it, seeking the Lord. And you pray, the Lord says, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Anyone may read. Anyone may pray for salvation, for the new birth, for the gift of the Spirit in conversion. Anyone. And these things are wonderfully broad, wonderfully clear, wonderful for anyone to read, but in particular his people, that we may ask good things, and in particular the gracious help of the Spirit of God, of the Holy Spirit. And then turning to Luke 18, in terms of particular things that the Lord encourages us to pray for, the parable of the unjust judge, we may pray for the Lord, for the Lord's justice. Now, it's not that the Lord encourages us to pray for punishment upon those who hurt us, but I think we may pray rightfully that the Lord would vindicate his people and their trust in his word. We are mocked, we are scorned because we trust his word. We may suffer. Our brethren in other lands, many of them suffer because they trust his word. And there is a legitimate prayer that the Lord would vindicate his people, and that they are not foolish, but right and just in one sense, to put their trust in him. And we may pray that the Lord would in that sense avenge and show the world that they are wrong in the ways that they go about things and in mocking the Lord's people. But also in Luke 18, I think we may take it in parable form of a very precious promise of forgiveness, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Upon these simple seven words, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, the Lord heard his cry, heard his prayer, and he will hear the prayer of all who pray those words as long as it is intended from the heart and with the whole heart in sincerity, God will hear and will forgive. And similarly, when we fall as believers, the same promise is given, that simply upon a cry of mercy, a genuine cry, the Lord will hear. Now there are many, many specific matters one could give, but I'll just go through some to encourage us. Here, forgiveness, wonderful, precious promise, but also wisdom. The more one goes on in the Christian life, the more one feels a need for wisdom, and the more you realize how wonderfully generous and gracious the Lord is to give it, how ready He is to give it. And that promise in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And the only caution is given, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Meaning, if our hearts are not, as it were, given to the Lord, and double-minded in terms of one foot in the world, one foot with the Lord, but we genuinely, though not obviously, absolutely, perfectly, genuinely desire the Lord's glory, He will give that wisdom, and so readily. So often, one may in the day find oneself in need of wisdom, and the Lord so readily will give. Solomon is an example, a promise in one sense, in type, or as a simple example. What shall I ask for? Ask for wisdom. And God gave it to him. And the Lord will give us. In all the situations that we face, we may have to wait upon him, but he will give wisdom, guidance, instruction, when we are confused, wisdom when we know not what to do. In time of trouble, there are specific promises to help. Let me first, Psalm 50, the Lord tells us to call upon him. Our friends may not be so ready to help us, certainly in the world. People will not be so, but the Lord tells us and promises that he will hear. Psalm 50 and verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. The Lord is pleased to deliver us in our trouble. One may say even at times when it is our own folly. He is very gracious. He will forgive and he will deliver. But he says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. He is happy, as in one sense the emergency services are, and in the best sense, happy to be called on. They won't upbraid you or chide you. Occasionally when I've called an ambulance due to some pain or something, and it's not proven to be anything serious, they don't chide, and the Lord will not chide us, rather the opposite, when we call upon him in difficulty. There is a similar promise in Zechariah, a gracious promise. I'll just read it, Zechariah 13, verse 9, in afflictions. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Again, the Lord is pleased to acknowledge us as his people as we call upon him in trial and difficulty. He will hear and he will acknowledge us and is happy to do so. Provision. One could have many examples of promises of hearing our prayer in times of need. But let me just read one and one might apply it in a greater way. Psalm 102, verse 17. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. We may be destitute not simply in terms of material provision, but destitute of strength, of hope, but he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. The Lord can hear us in the greatest of difficulties. And I'm sure we read, and you will have read, of brothers and sisters at this time in poorer lands and in lockdown and unable to work and in great need and calling upon the Lord, their daily prayer, that the Lord would help and the Lord will help and will bless and will provide. For the church, many promises, but one particular one in relation to prayer at the end of Ezekiel chapter 36. We long that the Lord would build up his church, but verses 37 and 38. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. He would have us to pray, but the promise is, I will increase them with men like a flock. As the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Wonderful promise for the people of God. Now, I won't go on too long, just there is a promise given to us for healing. We must pray for those that are sick, and we must pray, trusting that the Lord will heal unless it is his will otherwise. There is the promise at the end of James, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, we do not despise, dare not despise the gifts of God in medicine, but we must pray and pray simply and earnestly, looking to the Lord to bless. But I must say there are certain things in that respect in particular that the Lord will not answer. And one may say in general, anything that is contrary to his will. We don't know, obviously, the secret will of God. But I do believe that we know that there are no more apostles, that revelation is finished. There are no more prophets. I know some will disagree, but revelation is complete, and there is no more need for signs and special miracles to authenticate those who are messengers, special messengers. And the Lord will not, I don't know, I speak facetiously, he will not part the Red Sea. I don't believe he will raise the dead. And I don't believe he does raise the dead, though many will claim it. He won't stop the sun from going down as he did with Joshua, and so on. And these things, and in terms of healing, the what we call organic miracles, I think we may pray for sicknesses to be healed and restored, but for those things that people are born with in particular, we may pray for the Lord's blessing, but we don't pray that the Lord would change somebody. But we pray that the Lord's will and his gracious will would be done. We must pray for conversions. We're told, I believe, in one sense, in that it is the general revealed will of God, obviously not the secret will in terms of who is elect, but that is, one may take it to be the general will of God that the Lord would have all men to be saved. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And we may pray for our neighbours, for our colleagues, for our family members, that they would be converted, and we may pray, trusting it is the Lord's will. Had a brother, sincere, godly father, who, praying for his son, and put in an email, well, we pray that he would be converted if it is the Lord's will. And I tried to say to him, we may pray without saying, for conversions, without saying, if it is the Lord's will. And I think we can be too wrongly spiritual, if that's the right word. We may pray, and I think we must pray simply and earnestly that the Lord would save sinners and save those whom in particular he puts it upon our hearts, our own family, and neighbours and others, friends, and we may pray persistently and must pray patiently, believingly, that the Lord will save. Obviously, we are forbidden to pray for things to spend on our pleasures, as the Lord says in James, on our lusts, James 4, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts, to make us rich, or to just deliver us from all hardship, just because we cannot bear difficulties in one way or another, but to pray that the Lord would uphold and bless. Now, there are many things I've missed, I'm sure. I'll just end with this, and my apologies, it's a sort of seemingly foolish thing, but I happened to watch a video on YouTube of some young people and going and giving others in a shop where they were buying expensive goods, computer items, designer clothes and so on, going from one shop to another with different people, and giving them a credit card and saying, here's the credit card, there is a limit on it, but I'm not telling you what the limit is. Naturally, there was no limit on it, but spend what you want. So they did. Now, these people are clever. They know what they're doing. The video had received 57 million viewings. But in some senses, in a much more reverent way, the Lord gives us wonderfully broad promises. And in one sense, no limit, but for his will, but we are to call upon him and to pray. We must pray for our land. We may pray and must pray that the Lord would restrain wickedness. The Lord does hear prayers for to move in people's hearts, in government, and so on. And we may and must pray for the Lord's people to be built up. For those whom we cannot see, and we can give little practical help overseas, to pray for the Lord's upholding, often in very difficult situations. situations. But there is no limit that we may pray for such things. All these things, all these blessings are in one sense paid for already by the precious blood of our Saviour. He has purchased these promises for us, and he is pleased that we would make use of them to his glory. And that, I always think, the promise in Psalm 81, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. We may ask for great things and he will give. And to encourage us, I know these things, we know these things, but just to run through some of the promises to encourage us that we might not faint, we might not be weary in calling upon the Lord. Amen.